Good morning again, and I want to thank everybody for coming to this breakfast. It's really great that you're all here. I'd like to begin by having a quick go around, and then we'll get started. What I'd like you to do is I'd just like you to your name and the chapter, the affiliate, and whether you're doing any committees. And I'll start with my right here.
Tom Randall, I'm helping with this thing, and I'm with the Fresno chapter of the CCB, and I'm on the TOG committee.
My name is Charlene Arnellis. I'm with the San Diego Braille Club, and the committees I'm on are CAT and the fundraising committee.
I'm Katrina McCurdy. I'm in the Alameda chapter, and anyway.
Okay. John Ross. I am from the Raider Bakersfield chapter, and also treasurer of ARLC and fundraising committee. Co-chair and membership committee, and just glad to be here.
My name is Dorothy Coulter, and I'm from the High Desert chapter.
All right, there you go. I'm Alan Ramos. I'm on the Governmental Affairs Committee.
I'm Judy Wilkinson. I'm president of CLUA, and I'm a member of other bunches of things. I'm on the publications committee, and I'm sure I'll add a bunch of others over the next little while.
And she just got elected to the board.
Oh, right, and I'm a board member. I will be in January.
Yeah, that's right.
Hi, everyone. I'm Linda Porrell. I'm going to count them on my fingers so I don't forget anything. I'm a CCB Board of Directors member. I'm president of the San Francisco chapter. I am with the Board Liaison to the Blind Students of California. I'm a member of the board of BRLC. I'm a proud and happy member of the Resolutions Committee. I am, there's two more. I'm on the Seniors with Vision Loss Committee, and I'm about to be appointed to the Crisis Committee.
Oh, very good.
You got enough on your plate?
Yeah. Do now.
And toes. And I'm Debbie Kessler. I'm a member of the Orange County chapter. I'm vice president and delegate, and I have a lot of people on committees.
I'll take it to the next.
Oh, okay. I have to introduce myself.
Oh,
my name is David Jackson, and I am the. I better remember all of this stuff. I am a member of the California Council of Blind chapter in San Francisco. I am a very proud board member of the California Council of the Blind. I am also the membership chair for the California Council of the Blind. And I can't think of anything else. So I'm going to pass this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the microphone. Take hold it and then just pass it around the table.
Kevin Berkery, a member of the Glendale Burbank chapter.
You're a member of the Budget Committee.
And a member of the Budget Committee.
I'm Artis Bazin. I'm president of the Glendale Burbank chapter. I'm treasurer of the Blind Students of California. I'm the vice chair of the membership committee and a member of the CCB board of directors.
My name's Larry Hall. I'm president of the Redwood Empire chapter in Santa Rosa. Also a proud member of the San Francisco chapter.
Rob Turner, Silicon Valley Credentials Chair.
That's it.
That's loud. Ron Smith, member of the Glendale Burbank chapter, and termed out as treasurer of Greater LA last year, and Artis forgot to mention she's also on the finance committee too.
No, convention.
Convention committee. Sorry, wrong committee. And boy, with all these board members here, do we have a quorum yet?
Vicki Parker. Oh, Vicki Parker. I'm a member of Glendale Burbank chapter, and I also am on the membership committee.
Anthony Signorillo. I'm a member of the Glendale Burbank chapter.
Jim Chamberlain, member of the Glendale Burbank group.
I'm Joseph Lopez, and a member of the San Diego Braille Club.
I'm Patty Davis, and I'm a member of the San Diego chapter.
And I'm Gigi DeMarie, a member of the Redwood Empire chapter. I serve as their vice president, fundraising, and legislative committee. And I'm also a member of the San Francisco chapter.
Buenos dias. It's Melissa Hudson with the Greater LA chapter and also on the fundraising committee. And good morning. Special shout out again to my white, what blind isn't peeps here, who the superstars that are all here this morning. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, thank you again for coming, ladies and gentlemen. This is really great. We're going to try, Tom, and by the way, much thanks goes to Tom for helping with this. We are going to be talking about social networking and how it can help affiliates and chapters. And I suspect that social networking has been with us for quite a long time, not in the sense that we know it now, but and coupled with that is communication. Just to kind of give you an idea of communication, the telegraph became of age in the 1880s when Krakatoa blew up. The next day, virtually the entire world knew about that because of the telegraph. There is a documentary that I believe PBS has put out about that, and if anybody is interested, I'm sure they'd go online and look that up. More recently, there's been, of course, the radio and all of the TV, but since the computer and even more recently the internet, it has allowed hundreds of millions of people to become more communicative with their friends, with their loved ones, with business. And so the point I'm making is that, yes, social networking has been around, but now we've gotten pretty good at it. So today we're going to talk about the three that I think that are prevalent. LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And I'd like to begin with LinkedIn only because I want to mention that in the sense that it's being used by a lot of people, millions of people, for business. Primarily it's used for getting a job. The one thing I want to remind Judy, I want to remind people that these are all screen reader related, the things that Tom and I will be talking about. So you have to be fluent in, and you have to be knowledgeable with your screen readers. We're not going to talk about how to do, this isn't more of an overview. So we want you to be really capable with your screen readers. We're not going to talk about how you do things with JAWS or Zoom Text or any of the other screen readers that are availed out there. And if I could have people hold their questions until perhaps the end, that would be really good. Tom and I want to try to get as much of this done as we possibly can. So with that being said, I want to just I want to briefly talk about LinkedIn, which is kind of it's neat for people who are looking for work. You can do groups, but those groups are primarily under the auspices of an owner, a moderator, and that's how that those groups are controlled. You can join groups, but it's better that you you know that the group that you're joining is something that you're interested in. LinkedIn is all about profiling. It's all about your resume, and when you open up LinkedIn, you may have to. Now, the information that I have is that you don't have to solve a CAPTCHA. But initially, when I signed on to LinkedIn, I had to do a CAPTCHA. And the reason that I had to do a CAPTCHA was because I signed on somebody else's account. So be careful. You may have to do this. And everybody knows what a CAPTCHA is, right? A CAPTCHA is, there are audio CAPTCHAs and there are visual CAPTCHAs. And what they look like for people who are visual, they look like a mess on the screen. And they may be a combination of letters that are mashed together with numbers, and you have to decipher that. And there are audible CAPTCHAs. Tom, what, do you know anything about the audible?
Yeah. So I can talk about those in a bit.
Okay. Tom will talk about that in a bit. The other thing about LinkedIn, so you do your profile. You start with a summary statement, and then you go through it's like a resume. So you put your summary statement, you put your past work history, your volunteer, what you're kind of interested in. There are pages where all of the pages have search functions on them. So no matter what page you're on, you can go to the top of the screen to the upper right on any page and put in a search term. The other point about LinkedIn, it's also about 6 degrees of the separation. So you can meet people who know people, and those people you can get in touch with if you're looking for work. They may know somebody in that particular field who can help you with getting a job. And primarily, that's basically all LinkedIn really is. It's a way to network with professionals and with other folks who are also looking for work. The other two things that we'll talk about are Facebook and Twitter. And Facebook has a number of ways that you can look to post information. There are a couple of kinds of Facebooks. There's a Facebook main page where you can post up to 450 characters. The only difficulty with that is that you have to be able to get your thoughts in order, because it's hard to do with only 450 characters. And you also have to solve a CAPTCHA. With that site, you'll have to do that. There's Facebook Lite, which has its advantages. It's a cleaner form of Facebook. It loads faster, and the layout is a little cleaner. It's not as cluttered as the main page, and The disadvantage is that you can't read. I don't think you can read notes, and you can't post notes. So that's the disadvantage. And then there's Facebook Mobile. And by the way, all of these social networking mechanisms, you can access them through other devices, either the cell phone or the your Braille Sense or whatever device that you have. I lost my train of thought. Facebook Mobile is, and I don't know how analogous it would be for this group, but like I said, you're able to use that on any device, and with Facebook Mobile, you're also able to do anything with the main page. So if you want to do an event, you're able to do an event. And by the way, when you do an event from the main page, you can name when you do this, you can say what the event is. You can date it. You can say where the event's going to be, you can also, there's also a point where Facebook has a wall?
Yeah, which is, it's just like that's your bulletin board. That's where you write everything.
So you can post an event on the wall. You can also do that from the Facebook Lite as well. I want to move to Twitter, and I think what we'll do is we'll probably come back to Facebook, because Facebook is more fluid and is more capable of doing the things that I think the council is interested in doing. I will briefly talk about Twitter. If you're not interested in either of the two that I've already mentioned, Twitter is the place to be, because you don't have to do a lot of stuff. It's really simple. You post 140 characters. You can follow whomever you want to, follow. You can send tweets to, you can invite people via email to you as a tweet. There are a couple of kinds of tweets. There's a direct tweet where you only the person that you tweet can see what you have tweeted that person. And by the way, I'm using some material from the book that National Braille Press has put out. So if some of it sounds familiar, it's because I'm using some of that information. There is a way that you can mention somebody in your tweet. What's the last one? There's one.
On the public tweet.
And then there's the regular tweet. And that one goes out to everybody. To everybody that's following you, yeah. There are other advantages to Twitter. You don't have to. You can use applications. Tom will talk a little more about Twitter. He doesn't use the main Twitter. You use the applications that are. Is that correct?
99%.
Yeah. That are out there. So, again, this is an overview, and I'm going to ask Tom if he would talk a little more about the Facebook part of it.
Okay, hi everybody.
Yeah, and we're gonna kind of jump back to Facebook, and I know this may be a little confusing, and we promise we will let people ask questions at the end. I'm just gonna jump back for a second. Yeah, the thing about Facebook is it's a really big thing. You can do a lot of things, and that's why it's potentially very confusing, and unfortunately people just tend to get confused and give up. And it's too bad, because it's a neat environment. And there are some access issues, and I will just briefly talk about those when you're dealing with Facebook. The first, as David was talking about, is something called a CAPTCHA that we talked about. And a CAPTCHA, what it is, it's basically a security measure that is supposed to, and I say supposed to because they don't work. They've long since been hacked. The mechanism has been hacked. But they're supposed to keep a what's called a bot or a spammer from setting up, fake Facebook accounts and putting out, 50 million ads a day for fake Viagra or whatever they want to post to people. So now, and as David said, and he said that very well, a CAPTCHA is a picture on your screen, and it is letters and numbers, and what you have is a text box, and you have to type those in exactly as they appear on your screen. And I can tell you they are a challenge for a sighted person to read. Now, there are what are called audio CAPTCHAs. And what that is kind of a step in the right direction for us to be able to solve them. And what they are is you click this, it'll say something like listen, and you click this listen link, and you will get this garbled, distorted voice that on top of that usually has an accent, and it will say this bunch of letters and numbers, and you have to type those in and then, click the submit button or whatever. So anyway, that's just a brief overview of CAPTCHAs. Yeah. Now, we talked a little about events, and that's the main thing that groups like us tend to use Facebook for. And the way that it works is whoever is a member of your group, like, for instance, the California Council of the Blind has a group. And if any of you are Facebook users, you can join that. And the way that it works is anyone that's a member of that group, like, say, if the administrator of the group, if they post an event or if anyone else posts an event, and by the way, this is all customizable, who you let post events and who you let, do different things. The group owner can change all that. So in other words, we set up an event for, the Mutt Strut thing that just happened. And my wife, Mary Beth, had quite a bit to do with that. She's also one of the co-administrators on the Facebook page, on our Facebook group. And so anyone that's a member of the group, they get an email saying, you have an event. Click this link to see the event. And so you do that, and then it says, we're having a Mutt Strut on, Mutt Strut on this date. This is a brief summary of what it is. Are you coming? And there's a yes button, a no button, and a maybe button. And it just gives the people that are running it an idea of what's coming. And it's a way to publicize things for people. And this stuff is how people are doing things now. And we have to adapt to it. If we're going to survive as an organization, I believe we have to adapt to it. So that's, part of why I got involved with this. And, as David mentioned, on Facebook, there's also a wall, which that's like it's like what it sounds like. It's just like, the town bulletin board. And any group member can write something on the wall, and then people can comment on it, and you know they write back and forth. So you can kind of get a you know a little discussion going, and people can you know can put up pictures if you know if they want. You can like I said, you can do all kinds of different things with the Facebook pages, and you know so I'm just kind of I know I'm kind of going over some things again. The main Facebook page, that's where you can do the most things. That's the advantage to that. The disadvantage is it is very cluttered, and if you are not good with your screen reader, you're going to get lost on there in a hurry. And so if you're just getting your feet wet with this, you may want to start with what we call the mobile Facebook. And by the way, if you want to go to Facebook, of course, it's just facebook.com. If you want to go to the mobile Facebook, it is m.facebook.com. So you just add an M and a dot at the beginning. And that will take you to the simpler interface. And with the mobile one, as David said, now it's not as simple as it used to be. Recently they've made it kind of harder to deal with. Oh yeah, that brings up another point. Don't get attached to anything on these things, because these people that write these things, they think they need to change it every minute. And so whenever they do that, what that means is you've gotten used to the way this site works. Oh, it doesn't work that way anymore. And do they care if you don't like that? Not particularly. So you are gonna have to be pretty flexible in dealing with Facebook in particular. I'm glad David brought that up, because yeah, that's a good point. I mean, all these things do. Well, I don't know about LinkedIn. I'm not on there, but definitely Facebook and Twitter. They change these very often, which is why particularly I'm gonna jump into Twitter for just a second. That's why, particularly with Twitter, I never go on the Twitter website unless I'm going to like change my username or you know do something like that. I use what are called applications, and you can get applications for your computers, be they PC or Mac. You can get applications for your smartphone or your iPad or you know whatever you might have. And an application is basically it's a program that you run that lets you do all the things that you can do on the website, and it gives you a very consistent interface. So in other words, those programs don't change very much. So in other words, if you want to do something, you just run your application and it works the same way every time. So that's what's nice about applications. For like I say, especially for Twitter. There are applications for dealing with some of the things on Facebook. You can post to your wall. I know I already talked about what your wall is a little bit, and you can read what's called your news, which that's where you're reading what other people are saying. Now, just like any other application for anything, you know, there can be access issues. I'm an Android user, and I can do most of the things with my phone. There are some access issues with it, though. And so, you know, that's a little overview of what applications are, and you know how you use them. You pretty much use them to get more consistent interface. And again, if you're just getting your feet wet in this. Yeah, you will have to deal with the website as far as, you know, getting signed up and doing all those things. But if you don't want to deal with the website, or say, you know, you fool with the website and you're like, my God, this is too complicated, don't give up, because you may be able to do a lot of what you want through applications. So... Well, that's what applications are, as clients. They're also called clients. So if you hear people talking about, oh, I use, you know, this client or that client, particularly with Twitter, that's what they're talking about. Is applications and clients are the same thing. They also call them apps. And that is something that you have to get comfortable with, is some of the semantics that go around. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm an access tech instructor by employment. That's what I do by employment. And I'm also, even though I'm a guy in my 40s, I'm pretty comfortable hanging out with, you know, with kids in their 20s. So I'm pretty, and you know, and I'm a gamer. I hang out with my nieces and nephews and all their friends. So you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the semantics, and that is something that you do have to get accustomed to. Is what people call all the different things. So, do you have anything else you want to add, or do we want to go to questions? Okay, yeah. I mean, that's about all. I'm gonna shut up for now and let people ask any questions they have. Here you go.
Get the mic over to you.
You're gonna do that? Okay. My question is, Debbie Kessler. Yeah. So if I want to go to Facebook, I want to look up our site. Am I using the right term? Okay, our page. There you go. I don't have to be having a Facebook account, is that correct? I do. Oh, okay.
What is the CPB site?
The easiest way. Let me get the mic.
Yeah,
tell
here,
you.
I've got it right here.
Okay, it was asked what is our site. The easiest way to find us on Facebook is to do a search by email. And the email that I used to set up the Facebook site is facebook@ccbnet.org. So if you go into what you do is on Facebook, and this is, you know, the only place I'm going to kind of get into how to do things a little bit. There's a link that says, you know, find friends. So you click that, and then there's a search box. You type facebook@ccbnet.org, and that will bring up our group or our page, and so then you can join, and then you can join the group. So does that answer your question?
Yes.
Are there any other questions?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, this is Linda. I have a couple of questions. What are some of the better applications to use with the iPhone for Facebook and Twitter? And I want to ask you if you have a preference for accessible Twitter, McTwit, or Quitter. Which of all of these clients seem to stand out?
Back to it. That's why I'm running.
Okay, I'm not an iPhone guy, so I don't really have an answer for that. David, do you know anything about that?
I'm not on Twitter.
Okay, so unfortunately, I can't answer that for you as far as the iPhone.
We can find out though.
Now, as your other question, Quitter is, unfortunately, the Quitter project, the programmer has thrown a hissy fit because he's kind of a drama queen, and he has dropped the project. However, Quitter is by far the best solution for the PC. Quitter. And it is still available, and it does still work, and it will still work until Twitter screws things up enough to where it doesn't work anymore. So Quitter is by far the best app for the PC. I use something called Syrinx, Syrinx, for the Mac.
There's another Quitter client, too.
come to mind right now. So.
Yes, we had a topic on the membership, AC membership committee for our quarterly call, artist season. And we discussed this, and one of the members on the call mentioned a client called Easy, and the name just doesn't come to mind, but there is an article going to be coming out in the Braille Forum which covers it, and they thought that was even better than the Quitter client as far as using Twitter. And I can send that out. If you're on the CCB membership email list, I can send it out to you. Anyone wanting to be on the CCB membership email list, give your email address to either David or me. We'll make sure you get signed up. And I can put that article on there, and it explains the difference between the Quitter client and this Easy, and I don't know, I just lost the name. And it can explain the difference and how to use them, and it also gives a few other tips that a couple of real high usage people use. And I think that would be helpful for a lot of you, especially if you're just starting out.
Okay, I'm going to pose a couple of scenarios and say, for my chapter, it's Judy Wilkinson, sorry. Okay, I'm Bayview chapter. I want to reach out to young people in the Bay Area. Which is the best of these three sources to do that?
Facebook and Twitter.
Facebook and Twitter. They would be equal?
Yeah, you need both.
Okay, you need both. Now, David, you mentioned LinkedIn first, but we've heard the least about it. For our purposes, I'm assuming LinkedIn is not particularly...
I only mentioned...
I only mentioned LinkedIn because it is a social networking mechanism, but it's not necessary. It's a professional one, and it has to be mentioned because it so many people use it that it, you can't just discount it. That's the only reason that I brought it up.
For an organization like ours, probably you wouldn't post your pizza event on LinkedIn.
No. But it wouldn't be a bad thing if somebody were looking for work. It would be okay. I mean, they would just be another person. But I'm saying LinkedIn should be mentioned because it's important. You can't look for work without it now, apparently. I mean, it's just one of those instruments that you just have to use.
Okay. The good thing about LinkedIn is it's a more of a networking site. So, in other words, if you're part of a rehab organization, you're part of a blindness services group, then you would probably have a LinkedIn page. If you have people that are, like he mentioned, going to work, or if you're a rehab client and you're looking for services, you're looking for any information, they're going to be on LinkedIn. And the advantage to LinkedIn also is it's much more accessible. So if you want to network with people in the blindness community, it's a good thing. I know I'm on several groups in LinkedIn. I'm on a disability advocates group. I have my college alumni group. I'm on a speakers group. And it's very good for connecting with one another. And if you're looking for professional people in the blindness community, then it would be a good site for you to network on. Now, if you're just looking for the average Joe and you want to put events out, then obviously Facebook is going to work. So it kind of depends on, you know, what you're looking for. I would advocate going on both. Because LinkedIn is so much easier to use, why not go on it?
I want to speak to, there's a wee bit of competition now, apparently, between Facebook and LinkedIn in terms of the professionality of these two sites. I understand now that Facebook is also in the game of having people network and looking for work. And I think they're calling it a job fair, an open job fair kind of situation. So they're also trying to get people who are looking for work to get on this site as well. Are there any other questions?
This is Ron Smith again. Two questions, actually. If you're using a PC, what would be the pros and cons of using the mobile Facebook page versus the Facebook Lite page? And the other question is, Twitter, is that like, if you're using your smartphone or whatever, is that like treated like text messaging, or is that actually using the Internet, or how does that work?
Okay. I will answer these seriatim. As far as the Facebook, I don't know much about the Lite. I use either the mobile or the full. The Lite is kind of like the mobile, from what I understand. In other words, it can be easier to deal with, but there are things you can't do. But it is a lot less cluttered than the full. So does that kind of answer you?
Sort of.
Well, what doesn't that answer? Okay. Well, what you can't do on the Lite, as David said, you cannot read or write notes. And what notes are, for those people who don't know, as we said, Facebook has like a 450 character limit. Notes are things that you write that are longer. So you can write things that are longer. And I know there are other things that you can't do as well, but the notes are the big thing.
The mobile has less clutter too, but between the two pages.
Yes. I wouldn't.
Yeah, my notes are what I have here for the Facebook mobile. The screens are simple. There are apparently there are only small numbers of links, I think, that you can deal with. Let's see what else here.
Are there three versions of
Facebook? Yes, there are. That's why it's confusing. There's Facebook Main, there's Facebook Lite, which are the screens are a little easier, it's less cluttered, and then there's Facebook Mobile. And with the Facebook Mobile, you can access the main page that way as well. Right. Let's see.
Now, what's your other question? Oh, yeah. Okay. Twitter is, it is done through your data plan. So if you're on your smartphone, tweets go over your data plan. There is a way, however, if you don't have a data plan and you have unlimited text messaging, you can set Twitter up to send tweets to your phone. And you can also use text messaging to send tweets to Twitter. Use what's called MS, that's text messaging. So in a nutshell, you can make it work either way. I mean, of course, I just use my data plan because that it's more straightforward and I don't have to set Twitter up to do it. So does that answer that question for you?
I mean, you don't have to be on the phone to use the mobile site. You just type in m.facebook.com, and it is much easier to use, except that you won't, of course, have the ability to do everything that you can do on the full site. But you can do enough that, for the most part, you can use it most of the time.
Okay, this is Gigi, and I have a question. When you're logging into Facebook, if you belong to one, can you log into the others with the, using the same account?
Yes.
So you you sign in one time for three accounts.
Well,
now when you say accounts, what are you
talking about? Facebook.
In other words, you can go to m.facebook.com and you sign in with the same username and password as you do for the full one or the light one.
Are there any other questions?
I do.
Okay.
Here we go. Right here. Thank you. Thanks for identifying.
This is Melissa Hudson. When you said to go in and search for, you know, Facebook, you know, ccbnet.org, is that for the group or for the main page?
Okay, that's for the main page, and that's a good question. That's for the main page, and then you can, because the way we have it set up right now is you have to join us on CCBNet on Facebook first, and then you can join the group, because this group is the TOG committee has been setting that up, and it was kind of an experimental thing, and so I don't want everybody and their fathers, brothers, nephews, cousins, former roommate joining us on there until it was ready for prime time. So you have to do a search for that, and it will take you to the Facebook page, our Facebook page. In other words, the official California Council of the Blind Facebook page. You sign up on that, and then you'll see a link actually to the group on that page. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just add us as a friend, and then you can join the group from there. Yes, that's right. We have a group. We do not have a page, and that's okay. You're thinking of what are called pages. And I had asked the board wanted me to set up a group. And so that's what I did. So does that help you a little more?
Yes, but it's frustrating because when we were doing the month, the whole point was for CCB to have the page presented of writing the pros and cons between a group and a page.
Well, I know. I explained all that at the time, and yeah, you'll have to take that up with the board, because I did what they told me to do. So.
You raise a good point that we're all just learning, and we may change some of these things over time.
Yeah, we can always, you know, we can set up a page later. I mean, that can always, and I explained that can be done. I explained that to the board at the time, and I would support that, because I agree with you that the group is kind of convoluted. then it stays there. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That, I don't know if everybody heard me, but, you know, those are, yeah. Oh, it's being recorded. Okay, I'm sorry. The differences between a page and a group, again, I keep thinking, we think very insular. A group you have to join and be part of. If you're on a page, and, you know, the way Facebook works, you know, say I was CCB, right? And, you know, I said, oh, you know, here's new legislation that we want, you know, our members and everyone else to help support and call. And so they could put that up on, you know, CCB puts it up on their wall. If I click like, that those are one of the things, you know, you can like that. People can see on their, quote, unquote, news feed, they're like, oh, Melissa likes CCB, you know, so and I have 100 and some friends, and the average person has 100 and some friends. They're going to see that I like it, and suddenly that's how you start, you know, getting a bunch of things, you know, happening and, you know, balls rolling of people, you know, supporting you. And when you build an event, if you just put an event out just on its own, when the event is over, that page is gone, you don't see anything again. Now, if we would have done it under a CCB main page, the people who participated in the event and clicked it, whatever it was, they're still fans, they're still friends. They will still continue to receive these news feeds and things like that. So that's what I'm thinking. We need to be forward-thinking and not thinking so insular. I think affiliates and maybe smaller chapters, if you want to do your groups that way, and it's a more, you know, things that are happening within your groups, and you're maybe putting contact information or things like that. But I'm thinking main pages, this is where we need to go. This is where we need to be.
Thanks, Melissa. That's great insight. Thank you so much for that information. Are there any other questions? Really? Wow.
We do. And yeah. Yeah, that it's Twitter at ccbnet.org. I believe that's working. Whether it will be if it's not. I know I've brought that up in the meetings a couple of times. But anyway. Yes, but in we do have a Twitter account that it's not active right now because we need to, you know, get somebody administering it. So, but yes, it is set up.
Okay. This is serious, but do you have to be a twit to be a tweeter?
Oh my God. I'm not going to dignify that with an answer.
You tweet.
She's a real tweet. She's a real tweety
kind. I don't know. Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not. And I was just wondering if you have to sign up to be a Twitter tweeter.
Yes, you have to sign up. You have to sign up and get an account, of course. Yeah,
just
like any of these things.
Are there any last questions? You sure? This is really, I mean, it is overwhelming, but this is the way it is. I mean, this is how we're going to have to do this. Who's that? Okay, Linda.
I think I have a partial answer to Melissa's earlier concern. There was some history with the evolution of CCB's involvement, especially with Facebook, and an initial unofficial page that got set up, and some complications that developed and had to be resolved for us to claim our rightful spot as the official page, and I suspect that whole business affected how we initially set up the process.
David, I'm sure that when I get on the computer, I'm going to have 1,000 questions. So who do we direct them to? You, Tom, both?
I'm sure you can direct them to me. I don't have a problem with that. And obviously, I can direct those questions to somebody who may know more than I do. Okay. So, yeah.
So your email is?
Thank you. Quiet over there. My email is D4Jackson at sbcglobal.net. And I'm all over the... you can also reach me, you can call me up if you want. The number is 415-239-1873. But the D4Jackson at sbcglobal.net is going to get my attention more than anything else. So,
okay,
there you go. Are there any more questions? Okay. This has been really, it's rolling on towards 8:30, so I know that people have places to go and things to do. So I want to thank each and every one of you for coming to this breakfast and having some really cogent questions to ask. It was wonderful. I'm glad that you were able to come. This is really important. And this is how this organization is going to be able to I think, do what it has to do. And I think Facebook will be obviously the mechanism that we'll use. And I just as we go along here, I think people will have a better and better understanding because people will become more familiar with this particular site. My phone number is 415-239-1873. 415-239-1873. So I want to thank all of you again for coming, and I hope you have a pleasant day. Thanks.
Thank you. Good job, David. Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, everybody.
And much thanks goes to Tom, because without his knowledge, I think that this ended a long time ago. Thanks again, Tom.
Oh, you bet.
I'm going to turn it off.